chapter. I'll read that 17th verse again. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, before Adam fell from this high and lofty state, the scriptures imply that Adam walked with God. Now, I don't know exactly what all is involved in walking with God. I know to walk with Him, you've got to know Him, have some understanding of who He is. And it indicates or implies that he walked in obedience to God. Now, to walk in obedience involves hearing. Obedience is exercised through submission and compliance on what is heard. He walked with God. He heard what God had to say. And he was submissive, obedient to God. So you can say, I believe, before the fall, before he fell, he heard all that God said and he observed what God said. He was submissive to God. He was obedient to God. He was teachable. He was manageable. But the question arises here, why did Adam obey God? Why did Adam walk with God? Why was Adam keen to hear the voice of God? Why was that? Well, the first reason, I believe, is this. He had no reason not to obey God. No reason given here why he should not obey God. No one suggested that God be obeyed, so Adam never even thought of it. I remember telling you one time, thinking about this, that the babysitter who was watching this little child, 2-3 years old, and so she said to the child, said, I'm going into the house for a little bit. And while I'm gone, don't you put any of those rocks in your mouth. Well, she never thought of putting any rocks in her mouth until it was suggested to her. And so then she complied and put rocks in her mouth. Well, why did Adam obey God? He had no reason not to obey. None whatsoever. No one suggested to him that he ought not to obey God. Now, God was Adam's father. That can only be said in regard to Adam in the physical realm. He's our Father, our spiritual Father. We have been adopted into His family. Now, God was Adam's father, and Adam loved his father, and he trusted his father. Now, when one does not love another, then one cannot trust another. So love and trust and obedience go together. Also, when one does not feel loved by another, then they have a hard time trusting and obeying another. Now, Adam, before he fell, had no root of self-will in his nature. He was what we call a free moral agent. That is, that was the state of his moral nature. It was not affected like our nature is affected. His nature was not affected by sin. So, the will of God was his will. He loved God and trusted God, and whatever God's will was his will. And no one, of course no one there too, apart from his wife, no one forced him or threatened him to obey God. He did so freely, willingly. He chose to do so. Adam did before the fall. Did it willingly, freely. He never thought of anything else but loving his father, obeying his father. He never wanted, as far as I can determine, he never wanted to do anything else but walk with God and obey God. That was before the fall, before sin entered in, before he disobeyed. Now, before sin entered, before the fall, Adam and Eve were perfectly comfortable and happy with who they were. There was no grumbling about situations or circumstances. They were happy and loved one another, Adam and Eve. Now, he was happy to lead, and she was happy to follow. A perfect union. Where would you find that nowadays? He willing to lead, and she willing to follow. But that's the way it was. He loved her with all of his heart, and she knew this, and lovingly she reverenced her husband and submitted to him. There was no struggle, no quarrel, no domination of one over the other. Adam was Eve's king, and Eve was Adam's queen. Before the fall, before the fall, in paradise, that was the environment, a whole lot different than the environment that we're in now. Oh, in this wild and woolly and wicked world. World of sinners. World that's in out and out rebellion against God. But the environment of Adam and Eve is a garden of paradise. But sin, you see, is a great destroyer. Sin is a great divider. Sin separates. Sin's a monster. You see, man was innocent before the fall. And in that second chapter and verse 25, it tells us that. It says, and they were both naked. The man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now there was nothing about Adam that embarrassed Eve. And there was nothing about Eve that embarrassed Adam. They were both naked. And they were not embarrassed. It says they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Now we associate innocence with ignorance. What one is ignorant of, one is innocent of. But this is not the intended meaning here in this second chapter of the book of Genesis. Now, Adam and Eve had no sin within them before the fall. Not only did they not have any sin within them, they had no knowledge about sin. They had never experienced it before the fall. The feeling of guilt from doing wrong has its root in the wrong being. That is, when one has no sin within, there cannot be no guilt without. Now, this is not simply a matter of being ignorant of sin, for Paul tells us there in the book of Romans chapter 2, he says that the heathen there felt guilt even though they had no written or established law to direct them. Now this can only happen because the heathen, though they were ignorant of many things, are nevertheless, Paul said, they are not innocent. They're guilty. Now, Adam and Eve were innocent in the sense that they were created without sin. Adam came directly from the very hand of God. Defies explanation. God, the Creator, took the dust of the earth and created a man in His own image, breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. They were created without sin. They had no sin, so they had no guilt. If you have no sin, you have no guilt. They were pure within and pure without. Now, in contrast to this, we are not born innocent, you and I, but we're born with sin. Although it's hard to think and to imagine, and it's difficult for one to say in a public audience that has relatively little understanding of anything pertaining to the Word of God. It's hard to look at a newborn child and not think of that newborn child as being innocent, isn't it? The fact is, since the fall of Adam, there is no such thing as an innocent human being. David said concerning this matter, he said that he, David the king, whose heart beat with God, David said that he was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive. How could we view a newborn baby? How could we attribute to a newborn baby sin? How could we possibly think? What would we see in this newborn baby that would cause us to think that that baby wasn't innocent? Where is the sin? Well, David had a handle on this truth. He said that the sin is within. That's where it's at. It's in our nature. We're born with the nature of fallen Adam. Sin is within. And it's not long until you see the effects of that sin that is within. That's the truth. The sin is within. In our nature. Woven, warped, and woven. In and out. In our nature. The fact of this is seen that in the millions and millions and millions of human beings being born since Adam's fall, not one, with the single exception, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was virgin born, all of these millions have failed to manifest sinless perfection. They have all been born and manifested one way or the other a sinful, depraved nature. Now, before Adam failed, Adam was a friend of God. A friend of God. He was Adam's father, and he was Adam's friend. And you know the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus Christ and our relationship to Him and His relationship to us. It says that we have a friend. Who sticketh closer than a brother? Adam was a friend of God. God was his friend before the fall. He was his father. He was his friend. Adam was God's son. And Eve was his daughter. There was a family relationship with God and His children. It tells us in the Bible that God quite often came down to the Garden of Eden and visited, had relationship with His children, Adam and Eve. had fellowship with them. They were friends. Adam could say he had the best friend in the world. He had God as his friend. Not only was God his friend, but God was his father. He came directly from the hand of God's friend. But there came a time, I don't know how long it was, but there came a time when God, as He usually did, came down to the garden to visit His children, to visit Adam and Eve. But when He came down, something had changed. Now, they were trying to avoid Him. It says here in this Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, I believe, the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They knew they were naked. I read to you in verse 25 of the previous chapter, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not in shame, were not embarrassed. But now, God is about to come down in the cool of the day and walk and talk with His children and His dear friend Adam. And when He came down, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. And they heard Him. I don't know. Maybe He was singing. I don't know. But they heard Him. Maybe they heard His footsteps. Maybe that's what they're talking about. I don't really know. But they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. This is after the fall. Before the fall, He came down and they had this wonderful relationship. And Adam loved God with all of his heart and all of his strength and all of his mind and all of his soul. And Eve likewise. But now, before, I'm sure they listened for God to come at a certain time in the cool of the day so they could sit and listen to Him. They anticipated that time. They looked forward to that time that the family could get together and talk. God would show them different things, tell them different. But this time, come this time, when Adam had sinned against God, and when God came down this time, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the very presence of God. What happened? They had such a good relationship, but there came a time, you see, when the relationship was broken on Adam's side, not God. Well, Adam and his wife hid themselves from the very presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Hid themselves. They were anti-God. They were against God. It happened just like that. The moment that he ate of that fruit, the whole situation changed. Sin entered into it. Sin came on the scene. Sin's a monster. Sin's a divider. Sin caused Adam, who had a happy fellowship with his father, to be against his father, anti-God, against God. And he went and hid and said, we heard you. We heard your boys strolling around there in the garden in the cool of the day, and we was afraid, and we hid ourselves from you. God said, "Where are you, Adam?" And Adam said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, but I was afraid." Sin makes you afraid. It'll scare you to death too. If God the Holy Spirit opens your conscience to what you are, to what I am, make me to know sin and leave me to myself. Afford me no relief from this miserable condition that I'm in. Then I'm in a miserable state. I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid. Well, why was you afraid? Well, I was naked. Well, you was naked before, and you wasn't embarrassed. Didn't bother you before. You wasn't ashamed. You was comfortable with the nakedness of Eve, and Eve was comfortable with your nakedness. But now something's happened. Sin has entered in. And because I was naked, I hid myself. Tried to avoid him altogether. Naked. Adam, you see, was created immortal. We're mortals. We're mortals. You and I are mortals. Adam was immortal too. That is, he was able to die. Adam was able to die. And God served notice on Adam that it was possible for him to fall from the state of life into the state of death. He told him, in that day, I believe the very second that his teeth hit that fruit, in that day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. It's a twofold death. We die physically and we die spiritually. And that's the reason why the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." You can't quicken yourself. God has life and is the giver of life. You can't make God give it to you. You can't give it to yourself. No one else can give it. You life. You are absolutely shut up to God for life. And He's sovereign in His giving of life. "I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will harden whom I will." Well, he's going to die. Death was not in man. It was not a natural part of his makeup or his constitution. But death is in disobedience to the Creator of life. And that's what Adam did. He disobeyed. He ate of the fruit. And God said, "That's disobedience." And He said, "I told you that there's a possibility. I told you, you've been immortal. There's a possibility. If you break this law, you're going to die. The day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die." Oh, death is in the disobedience to the Creator of life. God warned him, told him of the penalty of his disobedience. Surely die. And as I said, that proves beyond a shadow of a doubt something about mortal man. We all die. That's the reason we die, is because sin entered in. Within, it's in our nature. It's in our nature. Seen in what we say, what we do, how we act. Sin is manifest. We're not born loving God. I went a quarter of my life not loving God, not knowing God, not caring for God, not giving one iota of reverence to His name. Dead. No life. Had no life of God in my soul. Lost, stone cold dead in the marketplace. God in His sovereign mercy. God in His everlasting, unchanging fixed His love upon me and made His Son known to me as my Redeemer. Now, I'll quit here in just a second. Now the state, the condition of a man as he came forth from the hand of God before the fall. Now listen to me, if you haven't heard anything up to this point, I want you to hear this, because this is essential for your understanding of salvation, understanding of sin, essential to it. Now the state of man as it came forth from the hand of God before it fell, it is essential to have a biblical understanding of salvation. It's essential that you have this. Simply because man is not now what he once was. Can you remember that? Man is not now what he once was. I tried to tell you what he once was. Friend of God. God talked with him, walked with him, had fellowship with him. He loved God with all of his heart. That's what he once was. Adam and Eve and God in the Garden of Eden. Man is not now what he once was. And unless this is clearly understood, you won't understand the nature of sin, and you won't understand the nature of salvation if you don't understand that. So it's essential to know. What is called preaching the gospel nowadays, and I think for the most part it always has been this way to a certain degree. We did have some old preachers and writers way back in the 1500s and 1600s who had a hold of the gospel. And they knew what the gospel was. And they preached it. And they passed that light on in books and so forth. But nowadays, there's not many that I know of that has a clear understanding of salvation and of the nature of sin. And what's called preaching the gospel nowadays errs greatly, because it takes for granted that every person under the sun is in the same state as Adam was before he sinned. And that ain't so. That sounds good, but that ain't so. Men are taught that we can do what Adam have a free will. His will was free to love or not to love, to choose or to reject, to receive or not to receive the person and the claims of God in Christ. It is taught in 20th century preaching that every man and every woman and every boy and every girl stand before God almost exactly where Adam stood before God when he stood as he come forth from the hands of God. And that's not so. And I told you, not only was Adam's environment different than ours, the garden was a garden of paradise. The nature of Adam was unique. No one but the virgin-born Son of God has been born without sin except Adam. Now, if we are where Adam was before the fall, before he sinned, then the incarnation and the life of God and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was all in vain. And there's no gospel whatsoever to preach to sinners. To understand where Adam was before the fall is begin to understand how far he fell and how far off we are from God. We're so far off from God by nature, so far off, that left to ourselves, we'll never come back. God must fetch us back. He must come and go where we are, sunk in the depths of corruption and pollution and sin, and speak peace to our soul. To grab us up and to bring us unto the Savior. Do you see what I'm talking about here this evening? Men are not in the same state that Adam was before the fall. They're dead in trespasses and in sins. They have no free will. Adam had a free will, and he violated his free will and sinned against God. And so we lost our free will in Adam. We lost everything in Adam. Everything was lost in Adam. But bless God, everything that we lost in Adam is gained in the Lord Jesus Christ. By one man's disobedience, many became sinners. And by one man's obedience, many became righteous. We fell in one and rise in another, even the Lord Jesus. And the gospel declares that in our natural state, we're far off from God. And the only thing that would be of any help to us is the Holy Spirit applying the gospel of the love of God seen in Christ Jesus to our souls. And if we ever see God in Christ, the love of God in Christ, how He loved us, what He did for us before the world ever was, how He put a seal on us, how He sent the surety, the Lord Jesus, how He condescended a man, and as a man restored all that we lost in Adam by providing us with a justifying righteousness by being obedient to the law of God, by bearing the penalty that's due us and against our sins in His own body on the tree, And he says, sinner, if you're interested